when you feel alone? Know that Jesus is there with you. And when you feel like no one can relate to your struggles, you need but reach out to the Lord, who loves you no matter what and is able to sympathize with your every weakness. And when you feel unlovable to the world, you can begin to comprehend the incomprehensible love that Jesus has for those who are his.
This is Opening the Bible with Dr. Nick Gatzke, Senior Pastor of Old North Church in Canfield, Ohio. I'm your host, Brian Dolan. Today we get to part two of a message from Pastor Nick called An Easter Prayer, and it's from the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And in here, Pastor Nick, we hear some big, broad language from Paul trying to wrap his arms around what's God's love like. How do you feel about his description, how far he gets in this?
I think it's a great description because basically what he is praying for is that they would be able to even begin to comprehend how immense this love of God really is. I don't know about you, Brian, but I feel like I'm only scratching the surface of what that love actually looks like.
How much time do you think the average Christian really spends trying to figure out how much God really loves them?
I would have no idea, but I think that it is a topic that is worth thinking about with regularity and spending some time devoting some efforts to, because when you begin to understand your status in light of your relationship to God and how that status actually results in a unique type of relationship, it really does change your outlook on your everyday circumstances of life. Things that you normally would think are bad and might be an indication that God isn't happy with you, if you view them through the lens of God's promises in Christ, those circumstances that look bad now become an opportunity, knowing that God cares about you and loves you and is going to empower you to navigate them in a way that's really, really helpful.
When do you most often see, when you're shepherding your congregation, people encountering the depth of God's love?
I think probably in two ways or two seasons. One is certainly in the depths of difficulty, whether that's often physical difficulty, sometimes relational difficulty or circumstantial difficulty. And secondly, very often at the crossroads of life, those times when people are making big decisions that are going to affect their future, like who I'm going to marry or where I go to college or having their first child, God's care for them in those tender seasons is palpable.
And we're going to get into some of that today as we look at this passage describing God's love for you from the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Here's part two of Dr. Nick Gatzke's message, An Easter Prayer.
Now, there's a difference, of course, between external strength and inner strength. You can often tell the difference. There's some people that can appear strong on the outside, but when enough pressure is applied, their strength breaks down. I think that everybody wants to be the type of person who has a deep inner strength, strength that lasts, strength that doesn't crumble under external pressure, abiding strength that sees you through the good and the bad, that sees you through difficulties in relationship, that even sees you through a once-in-a-generation or a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. And Ephesians chapter 3 tells us that God is the one who gives this type of strength. And he does so according to resurrection power. It's interesting, as you look at the passage, that this strength comes from a particular source. It says in verse 16 that this strength is according to the riches of God's glory. And when you take a step back and you consider that for a moment, you consider the riches of God's glory, it's almost mind-blowing to comprehend. Glory. Glory is something that we experience in the human realm in one way. Glory is just very simply success that leads to great praise or adoration or honor. You might think of glorious achievements of humankind, maybe some of the most glorious. You might think of a championship in a sporting event where a particular athlete receives glory for his or her performance. You might think of the end of a concert when a musician receives praise and honor because that musician moved everyone in the room all the way to their soul with the beauty of that music. You might think of the glory that comes from a scientist who makes an incredible discovery, or even the glory that might come to a medical doctor as they discover a new vaccine that could drastically impact humanity. Glory is the recognition or praise that comes from success. But our glory in this human experience is finite glory. But what kind of glory does a God who is infinite get? What kind of glory does a God who can do anything, who knows everything, who needs nothing or no one, what kind of glory does a God get who creates merely by speaking, who sees the potential and the actual in a thing at the very same time? We're talking about a God who has known trillions of people across every nation for generation after generation, and a God who has an unspeakable number of heavenly hosts at his beck and call, a God that comprehensively knows every single situation, every moment, every care and concern, and succeeds in absolutely everything that he does. For those who see him clearly, his glory is unimaginable to us. There is no possible way to measure it or to put a value on it. And it is this glory which is the source of the power that he directs toward his children. God's glory is often associated with power in the Bible, and power is something that is given to you. You want to experience that power. I want to experience that power. We want to experience that strength. We want to have access to the riches of God's eternal glory as the source of that strength. But the question then becomes is how? If God is doing this thing in power, if he's drawing from the vast resources of his glory, then how is it that we can attain it? Look at verses 16 and 17 with me. It says, that he may grant you to be strengthened with his power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So the idea of being strengthened in your inner being and Christ dwelling in your heart, these things are stated in parallel to each other. Our English translation does it just a little disservice here. The two realities, your inner strength that comes from God and Christ dwelling in your heart, they're stated in parallel together, which means essentially that they're describing each other. As Christ dwells in your heart, you are strengthened all the more. Or you are strengthened because Christ dwells in your heart. And now you begin to see the implications. How can I have inner strength? Well, Jesus must dwell in my heart. And we get to the core of the gospel message and the celebration of Easter Sunday. Because how does Jesus come to dwell in your heart? Well, chapter 2 of Ephesians tells us. Ephesians 2:5 says that even though we are spiritually dead because of our sin, through faith, God makes us alive in Christ. chapter 2, verse 13 says that even though we were far away from God, we've been brought near because of the blood of Christ. Chapter 2, verse 16 says that God makes us into a new person who has peace with God because of the blood of the cross of Jesus. And so when you put your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins in a very real and spiritual way, he comes to dwell in you, and his dwelling in you is the way that God applies his power, and he becomes the source of your daily strength. This only comes from God. Because Jesus rose, he lives. Because he lives, he can live in you. And the prayer for Christians, some of you might not feel like that. Some of you say, well, I've put my trust in Jesus a long time ago. Why don't I feel like I have this deep inner strength? And this is why Paul prays. He prays that we would come to fully realize the fact and trust the fact that Jesus is not looking at you as a temporary dwelling place that he has rented with a short-term lease. He's purchased this dwelling place on the cross. And he takes up residence there. And he lives there. And as a result, you can have resurrection strength in your inner being. The result, Paul says at the end of verse 17, is that you become rooted and grounded in love. I love those images. You're familiar with them, I'm sure, especially this time of year. You know what it means to be rooted. Many of you are starting to plant things in your gardens right now. To be rooted, or to be deeply rooted, means that something is not easily unearthed. And when Jesus dwells in your heart through faith, when you have inner strength from God, resurrection power, you become rooted, which means when times are difficult, you do not easily become unearthed. To be grounded, similarly, is the image of a foundation of a building. If your foundation, your internal constitution is strong, it's cemented in love, it's due to the residency of Christ through faith and the power of the Holy Spirit, it's drawing upon the eternal riches of God's glory, then your building will stand even when the heavy winds of the storm are battering up against it. This is a depth of strength for life that only comes from God and is only made possible through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. You might think about it this way. Strength and security for life come from the resurrected Savior. If you take away anything this morning, remember that true strength, inner strength, and lasting security for life, strength and security for life come from the resurrected Savior. The first petition is for inner strength. The second petition, the second request, is for us to comprehend something. Look at it with me. Verse 18. He says, that you may have strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God. Paul is praying that we would know something. And not just know something, as in acknowledge something is real, but he is praying that we would comprehend something, that we would understand it, that we would feel it, that we would grasp it, that we would internalize it. He is praying that we would comprehend the love that Jesus has for us. Now, let's be clear. He's not praying that we would love Jesus more, at least not here. He's praying very simply that we would understand how incredible it is the way that Jesus loves us. And he uses four spheres to try to help us see how incredible it is. The height and the depth and the length and the breadth of this love. Breadth and depth and length and height. These things are often used in the Bible to describe things that are immeasurable in their nature. They're incomprehensible for us to understand. This is often used to describe the wisdom of God. We see that in many different places, that God is so much wiser than we are that we cannot possibly comprehend it. Job chapter 11 says that God's wisdom is higher than the heaven. What can you do? It's deeper than Sheol. What can you know? Its measure is longer than the earth and it's broader than the sea. Meaning God knows infinitely more than you or I ever will. We can't even comprehend it. Romans chapter 11, likewise. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable are his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord and who has been his counselor? And so the sheer magnitude of this love of Jesus is beyond measure. So great is it that we cannot fully comprehend, and yet so real is that it surrounds you, engulfs you every single day. Deep in the mountains of northern Japan, there's a tiny town called Takamachi. This is one of the snowiest parts of the country. And during the worst blizzard to hit that area in 13 years, work crews were attempting to clear the roads around Takamachi because the towns had become isolated. And on a Thursday, since the snow had begun to let up, Mrs. Tomiko Takano, aged 37, decided that she was going to venture out on an errand with her young daughter, who was 7 years old. Her husband had left earlier that day to work with the road crews on clearing the road. And while Tomiko and her seven-year-old were outside clearing the path on a way to the road, suddenly an abnormally large pile of snow broke loose from the roof next to the house and buried them completely. Mother and daughter, Tomiko and Izumi, were buried beneath nearly 10 feet of snow. Mr. Takano came home that day to see that his wife and his daughter were missing, and he immediately called for a search, and they searched, but they were not found. The next day, a work crew was working to clear snow from around the house when they heard a soft whimpering coming from a huge pile of snow. Frantically, they began to dig in the snow toward the sound of the whimpering to uncover what was there. And as they did, the sight that they found was unbelievable to them. They found the frozen body of Mrs. Takano curled around, completely engulfing their seven-year-old daughter, Izumi, who was still alive. Because of her love, Tomiko Takano gave her own life to save Izumi's by wrapping herself in love around her daughter. Friends, this is just a picture of Christ's love for you. So immense is it that it's incomprehensible. It becomes known to us, however, through self-sacrifice. Jesus died that you might live. And because Jesus rose again, his love carries on in providing you an ongoing security. And so if you're found in Jesus through faith, you are surrounded by, you are engulfed with this love of Christ. And so when you feel alone, know that Jesus is there with you. and when you feel like no one can relate to your struggles, you need but reach out to the Lord, who loves you no matter what and is able to sympathize with your every weakness. And when you feel ashamed because you've sinned again, you humbly approach this risen Savior because he will grant you forgiveness yet again. And when you feel unlovable to the world, you can know, you can begin to comprehend the incomprehensible love that Jesus has for those who are his. His love is so expansive. It is incomprehensible to us. And yet the very prayer is asking that God would help us to comprehend the incomprehensible. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, if you haven't put your faith in him, then you'll never be able to comprehend it. If you're waiting to feel something or to grasp a level of God's love you've not yet grasped, then all the evidence you need is found at the cross of Jesus. And only after you meet Jesus there and seek forgiveness for your sins, only then will you begin to experience, be able to grasp, be able to comprehend the love that he has for you. Request number one is for inner strength. Request number two is to comprehend the love of Christ for us. And so how do these two requests come together? Well, they come together, I think, in two ways. The first is that both of these things, inner strength and having the ability to comprehend Jesus' love, both of them are essential for navigating this life well. Through the ups and downs, the calm times and the difficulties. And secondly, both this strength and this love are expressed and made possible through the resurrection. Strength and security for life. Strength and security for life are found with the risen Savior. That is a reality that we need to know right now more than ever. It's the reality that empowers your marriage when times are good or times are bad. It's a reality that gives you strength and makes you incredibly nimble through all of the different seasons of your growth and development, of your career, of your retirement, of your relationships, of your children. It's a reality that means the love that you experience, no matter what you've done in this life, makes you secure through this risen Savior. Strength and security are found in the resurrected Lord. And it means, quite frankly, that you can persevere. You can do it. You can have joy in the midst of difficulty. You can succeed when others are shrinking. You can have inner strength that far supersedes the external shell that so many of us are good at putting on. And it's because of Jesus. I want to close this morning with the words of Phillips Brooks, who gives us some advice about prayer, some thoughts about grace, and navigating the difficult situation that we're in. This is what he said. He said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger people. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but rather pray for power that is equal to your tasks. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you shall be a miracle. Every day you shall wonder at the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God." Friends, God bless you. May Christ dwell richly in your heart. May the resurrected King who's taking up residence there continue to give you strength and security for this life. Because strength and security is only found in the resurrected Savior.
Well, that wraps up part two of Dr. Nick Gatzke's message, An Easter Prayer. Thanks to all of you who have been faithful supporters of this ministry as we continue to help people learn more about Jesus and grow in their faith in Him. Have you considered being a partner with us if you haven't yet? We'd be so grateful for whatever donation you're able to give. And if anything, we'd encourage you to pray for us. Pray much of us that we would fulfill the mission the Lord has given us. For more information about how to give and learn more about this ministry, go to openingthebible.org. That's openingthebible.org. Opening the Bible is a teaching ministry of and is sponsored by Old North Church of Canfield, Ohio.